From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. AIDS has taken a precious toll over the past 25 years. Our neighbors and friends, fathers and daughters, whole communities are left to make sense of the tragedy, while researchers, doctors, and advocates race to prevent future suffering. Today, we end our Living with AIDS series on a hopeful note. Yesterday, NPR's Corey Turner took us to the rural Suba district in western Kenya, which has been devastated by AIDS. Today, he'll take us back for a closer look. The situation is still grim, but signs of change are everywhere.
Several times a week, a small plane drops off tourists at an exclusive safari lodge on Rusinga Island. Rusinga is one of several small islands that dot Kenya's western coast. Visitors travel far and wide to walk its black sand beaches and glimpse double-toothed barbets flying over Lake Victoria. What they're unlikely to see is the devastation AIDS has brought to these beautiful shores. Dozens of local children bathe on another Rusinga beach, not far away. Many have lost one or both parents to AIDS. And they're just a handful of the 650,000 AIDS orphans currently living in Kenya, according to the Joint United Nations Program on HIV/AIDS. That's the bad news. The good news is while many of these kids are orphans, none have been abandoned. A short walk up the beach, a water pump labors in the middle of a large gated compound. The nonprofit aid group Kageno Trust Kenya runs a handful of ambitious programs here, which have taken in nearly 200 local orphans.
They have been taught, they have a nice place to sit on, they have a nice food to eat, we have cooks who cook for them, and we have teachers who train them.
Zach Legipis is Kageno's project manager. He's quick to point out that AIDS has created a complicated crisis that requires a complicated solution. That means helping not only orphans, but the women of Rusinga as well. Many contract AIDS when poverty and hunger force them to trade sex for food. A support group of 9 local women, all HIV positive, sits on a blanket in the grassy courtyard. One of the women, Beatrice Aquino Ogumba, says Kageno Trust Kenya has taken them in, helped them obtain life-saving antiretroviral drugs, and given them a sense of community, a sense of purpose.
Myself, I feel very great, or I feel very good because I had the disease and I don't have to hide this from others, and I have to be open and get out to tell other people that the disease is there.
That's despite the fact that AIDS still carries a powerful social stigma here, especially for women. That stigma, as much as the disease itself, makes it hard for Beatrice and the ladies beside her to support themselves. Women on Rusinga are expected to marry, not work, and when they find themselves widowed, or worse, HIV positive, putting food on the table is a challenge. Another woman in the group, Phoebe Otieno Hada, says handouts from national and international aid groups don't solve the problem either.
If you give me food today, tomorrow it gets finished.
If you give me food today, tomorrow I will finish it. So if we can have something more to go around, like a small-scale business, we can prosper.
And that's exactly what Kageno Trust Kenya is trying to do, says Zach Legipis. He's been leading a new program that has Beatrice, Phoebe, and the rest of their support group cultivating water hyacinth, an invasive weed that's been overgrowing Lake Victoria in recent years.
Baskets, they weave coasters, they weave mats, you know, table mats, they weave floor mats and door mats, and they weave all sorts of things, yeah.
All sorts of things that he hopes will catch the eyes of buyers from all over the world. It's too early to tell if the program will work. If so, it will be the first time many of these women won't have to rely on a man to support them. Most advocates I spoke with here in Suba District praised the Kageno model for the scope of its progressive programs, but they also pointed to another, very different Suba success story, one on the front line of the AIDS pandemic. Rusinga Island isn't much of an island at all. It's connected to the mainland by a long earthen causeway. Not so Ngode Island. It sits further offshore, reachable only by boat. AIDS has hit Ngode's people hard, but help has finally reached its distant shores, thanks in part to local activists like Jim Amimo.
So many have been coming, and after knowing their condition, they have been able to move a step forward. Yeah, so it has been of help, actually, and even wherever we have gone, people keep on appreciating, and we even get others who are coming to thank us for what we have done.
Jim Amimo wears a pressed shirt, buttoned up to its collar. Like most men here, he grew up fishing. But after losing so many loved ones to AIDS, he's become a full-time health advocate. And that means looking his best. He spends much of his time behind a small plastic table, the kind he can carry in a boat or on his back up a steep, muddy trail. He works for locally run organizations and international aid groups alike, providing isolated communities like Ngode's with voluntary AIDS counseling and testing, or VCT.
Sometimes when you want to consider the challenges so much, you might not be able to deliver. So those you cannot overcome, then you live that way because it's not your wish.
Until recently, VCT clinics have had little success attracting locals here, despite the high infection rate. Jim says the reasons are complicated. For one, talk of AIDS has long been taboo on Ngode. For another, actually getting tested was a nerve-wracking process. Results often took hours, if not days. While Jim's straight talk has helped break through the former barrier, science has helped him with the latter. A new 15-minute test has locals lining up to learn their status.
And I'll walk away home with my results and what to do in my heart or in my head. So it has been an encouragement because they don't take much time waiting for the results.
On Ngode Island, Jim Omemo has made great progress in the fight against AIDS, as have Zach Lijapis and the women of Kageno Trust Kenya on nearby Rusinga Island. But perhaps the region's greatest hope sits just behind Jim, nestled beneath a row of trees. It's a small stone schoolhouse.
We teach them about the HIV AIDS.
We teach them about HIV/AIDS. We teach them about testing, the importance of testing, and that they really should know their status.
Teacher Madi Noma stands outside, on break with a handful of other teachers. He says many of the children here aren't even teenagers yet, but like most kids in Suba District, they're learning about AIDS as if it were math or music.
And nowadays, we don't fear. We really tell them things.
Nowadays, we really don't fear. We tell them things the way they are, and they also respond positively. Though there are some things, if you tell them, they feel very shy. Still, you just have to tell them the truth.
Because the truth, and only the truth, will save his students' generation from the disease that has all but destroyed his own. The children of Ngode Primary School stand outside in the waning afternoon sun. They're shoulder to shoulder, smiling. Some of them hold hands. A confident young girl with bare feet steps forward and leads them in song. Corey Turner, NPR News.